We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Now you've got Chase Daniel has come into the game at quarterback. He's the backup, longtime backup, 11 years in the league. When Trubisky got hurt earlier in the season and missed the game in London and missed the part of another game, almost two full games, it was Daniel. So for whatever reason, here's Chase Daniel.
I don't see anybody over there looking at Trubisky.
I don't either.
Was it hurt in the first half?
It was one of the last drives, the second half. So
second quarter.
So just try to keep it loose and just kept getting tighter and tighter, and it was really preventing me to play my game, and just it's frustrating.
You never saw him go in the 10.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
What happened?
Yeah, he just had an earlier deal where he landed on it, and it just he was playing through it, you know, and then so I. Coach Rags, our quarterback coach, he mentioned to me that we got to keep an eye on him, and so that's what I started doing. Then we kept an eye on him, and then I think it was probably one or two series that he went through with it, and then I finally pulled him aside. I said, "Listen, here's the deal. We got to know, and you got to be honest with us as to where you're at." And that's it was hard for him to say that. It was really hard, but he told me exactly how he felt, and then I made the decision to put Chase in there at that time.
For whatever reason. Here's Chase Daniel.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You heard the fine folks of WBBM sharing the call with us. You heard the voice of Mitchell Trubisky, and you heard Matt Nagy, the head coach there. And you can draw your own conclusions. And I got to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it matters much to Bear fans at this point.
I would agree with that. I don't think it does. But for whatever reason, there was suspense. And I understand that because you're talking about the quarterback. And yep. here's what I think is also, there's a lot of factors probably in play here, but NBC didn't know what it was seeing because apparently in the press box, they were in the dark as well. And then after the fact, after Chase Daniel, who did not look ready to play, did not look ready to come in there. Difficult circumstance, 3 minutes, 24 seconds left, you're down 10. Okay, go win this football game. And it still was a game that if you have a starter, if you have a guy with a record of coming back in the fourth quarter, you're not ruling it out. You're not ruling it out if that's Russell Wilson or Phillip Rivers or Aaron Rodgers. I know that the Bears don't have those guys. But my point is that Chase Daniel wasn't ready to do anything but mop up. And nobody told NBC. So they're speculating the way the rest of the country is speculating. And Mully, I'm not into reading body language, but you have to do it in those situations. And it looked like Mitch was being told that he was being benched.
Right.
And that's why people read into it the way they did. Maybe he was being told, hey, we're concerned about you. We want to protect your health, whatever. But he looked like a guy that had just gotten benched.
Yeah. Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We'll start with, is it Keeney on the south side? Keeney?
It's Kenny.
Sorry, Kenny.
What's up, Kenny?
All right, my thing, I got a couple points here. As far as the kicker goes, he's cost them two games this year.
Mm-hmm.
Two games this year. And they should be 6-4 instead of 4-6. And the worst decision they made during the offseason was getting rid of Jordan Howard. Because this guy they got now, Montgomery, he's not big enough to get through those 2 or 3, 4 yards. My point is this, Mitch didn't get any help yesterday. I kind of leased 6 or 7 drops yesterday.
Yeah, not that many. That's exaggeration.
Well, they came in leading the NFL in drops.
Yeah, I mean, so they haven't done him any favors. But the offensive line has been a bigger problem than David Montgomery. Jordan Howard would have a hard time getting yards behind that line.
yes, the David Montgomery played hurt and was limited clearly by the injury. He had a lightly rolled ankle, a touch of cinnamon on it, and wanted to run fluffier than usual. Look, it was a pity that that kid couldn't perform as well as you'd expect from him. But I think he's a pretty good back.
He's a pretty good back. They can win with him. Tariq Cohen actually had a better night running the ball than he had in some time. Nine carries and 39 yards. I know you don't like him between the tackles. That's not ideal. But he did get you some yards when you needed him.
I don't like him out of the shotgun between the tackles. That seems just like an insane play to me.
Well, look, I don't like anybody out of the shotgun running the ball because there's no momentum.
No.
You're not going downhill. Exactly. You're trying to generate your own. I mean, it's really a bad, poorly designed play.
You're making like three moves to get to the line of scrimmage.
All right, since you brought up the coaches, and we'll get back to the phone calls. But look, I just looked at last night as an example. It was a matchup between two of the previous winners of the NFL Coach of the Year, McVay versus Nagy. McVay did what he needed to do with that team, given the circumstances. Struggling quarterback, no receivers, banged up offensive line, yes, but simplify things. Give the ball to the best player on the field, Todd Gurley, and see what he can do. That's what they did. Meanwhile, what was Matt Nagy doing on third down in the second half? Because there was not one call that he made on third down in the second half that, to me, made sense.
I can't answer that because I don't know. I've lost so much faith in Matt Nagy this season. Unfortunately, I really thought when he first got here that that this was going to be a great marriage between the great defense and the offensive mind, and somehow he was going to be able to do things that we hadn't seen and they did load up with some weapons, all of which are hugely disappointing, except for probably Ellen Robinson. But David, the things that he said, the way that he's talked about his offense, the way that he has been as stubborn as he's been, and even when he's changed, he hasn't been consistent with that. So it is really difficult to feel like the Coach of the Year is ever going to win that award again.
Third and one tends to bring out the worst in Matt Nagy because he loves to come out in the shotgun.
He wants to fool people.
And we have evidence on tape. You can look at the analytics. When they go into an I formation with a fullback, on third and one, that's not a bad move. Even though everybody knows you're going to run the ball, maybe try to run the ball or maybe play action pass, but don't run an option into the short side of the field. Don't go.
That was so awful.
And how about?
And they only lost 3 yards, but it felt like they lost 15.
And then there was one third down.
It was just such a failed play. It was just like, oh my God.
How about the third down pass where Trubisky was looking for Robinson, threw it to Robinson, and then Chris Collinsworth didn't even know what to say. He said, that was just whatever. he was flummoxed because it was such a poorly executed play, a bad call, worse execution. It just, on third down, the Bears lost the game in the second half because they didn't know what they wanted to do and they tried to get too cute.
312-644-6767. Jason is in Chicago Ridge. Morning, Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good. I'm a season ticket owner of 18 years, and I'm telling you, to call Matt Nagy Trestman, that's insulting Trestman to the worst degree. Oof. This guy, and you touched on it, Molly, he's running shotgun option plays on third and one? Like, Pee Wee football coaches don't even do that. What is this guy doing? I heard a guy call him Turd Nugget Nagy. That should be his name, because this dude he's clueless. And please tell me why we can't get a tight end up from the practice squad. It was clear in the preseason, Jesper Horsted was our best tight end. And he still trots out Trey Burton and all these other bums.
Well, Trey Burton's out for the year. So
Mitch is taking criticism because everyone around him is incompetent, including the coach, the GM, the scout, everybody. All the linemen we paid the money to, they're probably the worst in the league. I mean, I'm ready to give away my season ticket. That's how disgusting it is to watch the coaching of this team.
Thanks for the
phone call.
Thanks,
Jason.
You know, you bring up a good, really good point, Jason, about the tight end. And it was torture to watch the lead into the Bears game.
Yes.
You sat through a very entertaining game. I liked watching Eagles and the Patriots.
Yes.
But it reminded you how valuable a tight end can be in an offense like the Eagles, which is the Bears are like the Eagles offense, right? You're supposed to have these guys like Ertz, like Goddard. And you saw, even though the Eagles were playing without DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey, the tight ends were still big parts of that passing game.
Right.
They made plays downfield. They had tight end screens. They found a way to use the guys the Bears just don't have. They're paying for Trey Burton to be productive. He hasn't been. This has been a lost season. They have nobody behind him that you can trust.
They Ben Broniker got his weekly catch, but that was it. So three targets, one catch for 8 yards. That's your tight end contribution.
And then Mitch missed him. He was open.
Missed him a couple times.
Could have dropped it into the bucket. Would have been a tough throw. You got to make those tough throws. If you're the second overall pick in the draft in that situation, you've got to make that tough throw, and he just didn't. There were a couple other times. But I agree with you overall. There were times when you looked at Mitch Trubisky yet last night, and you thought, even though the bar is so low, oh, okay, can live with that. Do that again, right? Then there were other times like, oh, my gosh, he is so inaccurate. He's going to get you killed.
Do you know what it was? It's the old, you know, throw to win, run to – throw to score, run to win. And you just can't seem to throw to score. That's the problem with their offense. There are times when he'll complete a pass over the middle, or times where he'll make a play where you're kind of like, oh, that was, you know, that was okay. He's doing okay.
Yeah.
And they're moving the ball a little bit. And that's why it seemed like progress, because they got some first downs and it wasn't just three and out, but they didn't score. They scored one bloody touchdown in that game. And I get it. It's not his fault that the kicker can't kick a 49-yard field goal or 47-yard field goal, or the coach won't try a 48-yard field goal, whatever the actual distance was. So they could have produced 16 points, but they still would have lost the game by a point. Although, I don't know. If they had scored early, that might have been a different game.
It changes the way that the Rams call the game.
It does.
If you have a 9-0 lead, there's no way you can tell me that Sean McVay, with all his offensive wizardry, is going to commit to the running game to the extent that he did. They only ran 52 plays, Molly. So,
but again, David, if you have this offense and they apparently didn't see it coming with Mitch in the offense and Nagy in the offense, because otherwise they'd have done anything humanly possible to fix the one position that was their boogeyman position coming into the year, and they rolled whatever it was, 17, 14 bodies through Hallis Hall trying to fix it instead of going out and getting somebody and actually solving that. 30 or thereabouts. That's what was insane when you look at it right now.
And it's so deflating.
Oh, boy.
It must be. As an offense that's struggling for any morsel of confidence.
They fumble, you get nothing. They throw a pick, you get nothing.
You get two takeaways in the first quarter,
and
you get nothing.
You march down the field, and you get nothing.
How about the Rams? The Rams are doing their part to make the Bears have a fun trip. I mean, hey, we'll line up in the neutral zone on fourth
down.
Oh, my God. Hey, we'll have an illegal formation. Hey, we'll hit the kicker.
The punter, it was insane. How many opportunities they gave you, and you can't cash in because the guy can't kick a field goal from, obviously it's almost 50 yards, but it's not even 50 yards. It's still, that's the bread and butter of kicking, from 40 to 50 yards. That's what, if you can kick that consistently, you can play in the league.
So what will Matt Nagy say today?
312-644-6767, back with your calls, Mullie and Hall on the Score.
No, I mean, well, you want to see field goals made. I mean, it's we all want to see that. He knows that. So we got to, again, you're in a game like this and it's a defensive battle and points are at a premium. You want to be able to make those kicks. And I kind of look at it, too, to start the game. We've been struggling with drives getting going, and we finally got a couple first downs. And now, you know, it might not sound great, but we were in position to kick a field goal to start the game and we missed it. And it's just, you know, those are the ones that I really wish we could have.
Hey, more other options.
What's that? No. I mean, no. That's again. We look at us, and I think with Eddie, he knows he's got to make those.
Mullie and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. That, of course, is the voice of Matt Nagy, and he's talking kicking. Can't get enough of that, can you?
Oh, I have had enough.
Oh, my
God. I've had enough, and I'm really surprised at his good demeanor about this. It's almost like, yeah, you know, Eddie will get it. What are you basing that on? Because Eddie Pinheiro did not come to the Bears with a track record, okay? He's not Adam Vinatieri. He's not Justin Tucker. He's certainly not Robbie Gould. He doesn't have anything to base this confidence on. I don't understand how a coach on one hand can talk about accountability and then on the other saying, well, Eddie's going to be fine. No! You finished the first quarter in a scoreless tie. You should have been up 9-0, and you weren't because your kicker can't kick straight.
Sorry. Is there anything worse than talking about field goal kicking? I mean, it really is something that you should just – it should be, like, professional and – you know, you don't have to talk about it really ever. You can say, oh, you know what? He missed an extra point. How bizarre was that? But when you're talking about it, it just is emblematic of a terrible problem on your team, this, like, wretched hole in the roster. And I think that's where the Bears are at right now. And Matt Nagy, like, he is one of these guys. There's nothing wrong with being positive, but he wants to talk a lot of things into existence. And unfortunately, when you are like that all the time, mm-hmm. there is sort of a credibility gap that jumps in, right? Where you just don't believe anything he's saying in terms of his honest appraisal. It's more, well, let me just tell you something incredibly positive about it.
Well,
it's all going to work out.
You have to have your positivity that is rooted in something tangible and real. And there has to be evidence beyond just yep. the fact that you have disciplined yourself to have a good attitude.
That's exactly what he is. He's a guy that has told himself, as long as you're upbeat and positive about it, everyone will buy in.
And I admire that as a person.
It's hard to do.
I think it's really a valuable thing to do in life if you can wake up every day and say, all right, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to be positive about the way that I'm going to approach everything today. I'm going to run into adversity, but I will be able to overcome it. You know what, though? Sometimes coaching a football team, you can't be positive all the time. Just like being a leader involves making tough decisions and making tough calls and giving people bad news. And I think he's in a situation now where you've got to do that for the good of the 52 other guys in that locker room. You tell me that people on that defense aren't sick and tired of watching these kicks be missed. Three of his last seven, Pinheiro is.
So you asked the question,
yeah,
what is Matt Nagy going to say today?
Do we have a quarterback controversy in town?
Well, I think that the cover of the injury allows him to make a change at quarterback if he wants to, kind of without suspicion that Mitch is benched. So I think that while many people suspect Mitch is benched, the way that they've gone about it, and listen, in fairness, it is perfectly possible that a guy can tweak a hip in the first half of a game, and it can get worse.
Yeah,
in the third quarter. I mean, that is not beyond the realm of possibility. And you know, a hip injury is a hip injury. So it's a little murky and a little crazy. And you could bench a guy for a game or two and act like he's injured when in reality you're just trying to get something else. The problem, David, is I don't see it from the backup quarterback.
Okay,
I think that. The one game, the Minnesota game where he came in and finished that game, they weren't ready for what the Bears were doing on offense, having a guy that could operate. The minute he had to start a game, everybody started attacking him the way you would imagine you would. Get big guys up the middle and go at him, and he can't really hurt you on the run, and he can't really see over your line. And I thought he came into that situation. It was a bad situation to come into. But he did not. He looked absolutely scatterbrained, and he didn't look like he had any chance at all. Now, with a week's preparation, would that be different? Can you claim, well, Mitch is going to be a game time decision, and kind of keep everybody? Can you bench him without saying we just have to? I'm tired of looking at it too.
Well, you know, do you worry about big picture app implications anymore? Because you're out of the playoff race. You've got six games left. You've got an offense that is broken, and I think that you can use the hip injury as cover, but at what point do you just say, well, we need change for the sake of change to find out what we have and just to get through the season? I don't think that you're in any harm of damaging Mitch's psyche any more than it's been damaged.
No.
There's nothing in the final six games that is going to make him any worse, and frankly, I don't know that there's anything in the final six games that's going to change anybody's mind for the better. So he is what he is, as they say, and I think you know what you have. So whatever you do at the quarterback position is really, we can debate it. I'm not sure it matters.
I'm not arguing. I mean, you're absolutely right, and that's the problem. That is the strange circumstance they're in. Let's squeeze in James. He's in New Lenox. Good morning, James.
Hi, James.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to say I think the problem with the Bears is they've just had very poor team building for pretty much my lifetime as a fan, going all the way back to Jerry Angelo. I know he's basically the first GM they had, you know, after a Super Bowl era team. But, you know, you could have traded up multiple times for guys you wanted. You chose to do so with Leonard Floyd and Trubisky. You could have traded back in years where you took guys that you had a redundancy already at the position, like you signed Thomas Jones and you draft Cedric Benson. You know, there's guys you were targeting that you missed, and then you reach on other guys, like you're hoping Cooper falls to you. He doesn't, so you draft Kevin White. Just a lot of problems with the Bears as far as team building goes. And when you take a quarterback as high as number two and then you miss, you know, now the Bills do. You got to pay it if you miss on that quarterback. It might have masked everything had you hit on Trubisky, but you didn't. So the Bills do. Now you got to pay it. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Thanks, James.
Good phone call. You're
good
right.
Phone call.
You get the right quarterback, though. He erases a lot of mistakes.
Yes, he does.
And a lot of those miscalculations at wide receiver or maybe Leonard Floyd, you get a guy who is capable of being one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. A lot of that other stuff doesn't matter.
Joe, did you see Virginia was there? Virginia McCaskey?
I did.
That's a 97-year-old woman that flew from Chicago to Los Angeles to watch her team do that.
Every time they showed her, I just kept thinking, is she pissed off? Because I'm pissed off.
She looked it? Did she look it? She should have been.
Really changed.
She should have been,
yeah,
Joe.
Changed.
She's incredible.
But
yeah.
While Ryan Pace was trying to duck the cameras and hiding a little bit.
Sure.
For the fifth time.
Do we need to hear from George? I mean, seriously, do we need to hear from somebody?
No. Not until the end of the year.
Who I want to hear from Pace is the general manager.
Yeah, he needs to talk.
And
especially if this is a benching, and we don't know.
If his franchise quarterback is either injured or benched, I think it would behoove him to speak.
Yeah, I mean, we're so focused right now on just trying to win and get better this next week. I mean, we understand that there's so many. The only thing we can control is us. So we just gotta focus on next week, and that's, you know, number one. I thought the defense played really well tonight, and then, you know, again towards the end, they're out there on the field a while, and we just gotta score more than 7 points.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That's Matt Nagy. He's the head coach of the Bears. And they did a pretty good job of ruining my Sunday, and I was having a really good Sunday before that game started.
Yeah, at least it started at night. You got a chance to enjoy the rest of the day
free
of any sort of kind of disappointment or despair.
So I went over to Loyola to watch their soccer team play in the Missouri Valley Conference Championship
game. Ramblers!
Go Ramblers. They ended up winning the game. They scored a goal in the 89th minute to tie it, and then it went to penos, and they won on penalty kicks, and they go to the NCAA tournament.
Whoa!
We'll find out today who they play. So it was unbelievable, and it was so much fun because a lot of my old teammates were there and got to hang out with some friends that we had kind of reconnected at. I told you our soccer coach, Rock, passed away last week. You know that well. But I heard a story that I thought Dustin would love, which he would just love this story. So Loyola's playing this years and years ago. Some kid gets the ball, turns around, and just passes it out of bounds. Like, just kicks the ball out of bounds, basically. And there's nobody even within 10 yards of where he hit it. And Rock gets up and he screams, "To who? To who?" And this one of these guys, Paul Roach, is on the end of the bench and he says, "It's to whom?" And Rock like turns around, and he had this look, and he says, "What?" And the kid says, "It's to whom, not to who." And Rock looks at him and he turns back to the field and he screams, "To whom? To whom?" You gotta love a man that embraces having his grammar corrected.
English major?
Yeah, of course. Is that unbelievable? We were falling apart.
What
laughing.
A good alum you are, going down a Sunday afternoon,
listen,
blustery outside, going to watch the soccer team. Nothing like November Madness.
One of the best games I've seen in years. It was so tense, and to go down to penalty kicks and the whole bit. And, you know, it was great. Like, Porter Moser was there. Like, all the coaching, the coaches from the other teams are there, the, you know, athletic. I mean, everyone's there because it's NCAA
tournament.
It's like
he was at a big high school.
It was huge. It
Everybody's
was.
Sort
I
of
was like,
pulling for
I
the
was
next
so
guy.
Impressed
yeah.
with Porter.
That's impressive.
And his team had a huge win against St. Joseph on Saturday. So congratulations to the Rams.
And
great
DePaul.
Weekend for them.
DePaul had
DePaul
a big win. I know you would like
fire.
To ignore DePaul.
Not at all.
But for the first time since 1986, I believe, they are 5-0.
And for the first time in a while, they're like loaded with local guys.
They are loaded with local guys. Yeah. Leading.
Fly the W!
Charlie Moore leading the way.
That's right.
That's a very impressive team. They play a good high, you know, fast-paced style. And Zach Zaidman is the play-by-play guy, so you can't go wrong listening to Zach.
Let's get to the phone line. 312-644-6767. Dave is in Burr Ridge. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Dave.
Hey, guys. A couple things. I blame Nagy mostly for the Bears' woes. Second thing, I think the last time I saw a screen pass the Bears tried that actually worked was when Eric Kramer was the quarterback.
What about
it's going way back?
What about the wide receiver screen that Gary Croton brought with him?
The bubble screen.
The bubble screen.
The bubble screen.
That was a good.
That was
play.
When the bubble screen was just sort of coming
it was
into
just
vogue.
Well, it became very fashionable in the league
yes,
after
it did.
That. People
it did.
Loved to copy.
And then
each
everybody
other.
Caught up to it. And I think people have caught up to Matt Nagy. I think that we have established throughout the course of this season and certainly the second half of last year. Last night was not another. It wasn't an example of any sort of you're not out scheming anybody. You're not scheming guys open. Just look at the numbers. I mean, Jared Goff was 11 for 18 for 173 yards, and he had the best game of the quarterbacks.
We have a texter. This is a great text. Got to score more than 7 points, Nagy said. Why didn't any of us think of that? That's a great idea. Now all caps. Fire everyone. Pace on down. This team is embarrassing. All caps. I love when someone screams on text.
You know what it is? I mean, you started the season not only talking about the Super Bowl possibility, but they embraced it. This was a cocky team full of a lot of enthusiasm and confidence that I understood. Everybody did coming into Bourbonnais, but they hadn't won a playoff game. They have the last playoff game this franchise has won. It's been a long time. They didn't win last year, and yet they acted like they had, you know, returning or coming off a Super Bowl and worried about the Super Bowl hangover. This is the worst part of it. They give the Super Bowl hangover without the fun.
312-644-6767. You get a little delirious watching this stuff, huh? I mean, it's staggering to see a team go against the Rams, who are really not a great football team, an embarrassment of their own, turning the ball over early in the game, not being able to stop anything early in the game, and you get nothing for it. And then the coach says, well, we got to score more than 7 points. Do you think? I mean, good God. It's
well, you know what?
From the first play of that game,
the margin for error
is
so thin, and you saw things that were so close. I mean, okay, we have established, we talked about the three field goals, the two misses and the one that Matt Nagy couldn't bear to attempt because he didn't believe in his kicker. But beyond that, we talked about Trubisky. How about if he just puts a little bit more air under the pass to Anthony Miller and the safety doesn't tip it away at the last minute? That could go for a long, long way. You know how
that was a touchdown.
What happens if they score that touchdown?
A little more air under that ball. You know, and even that hand came out of nowhere. I thought that was going to be a huge play.
You know, there were other times where Mitch was just so close to making a play with Broniker for a big gain. And I think they were very close. This isn't a terrible football team. They should have won last night. And I contend that had they taken a 9-0 lead, the Rams would have called a different game and the Bears would have been able to, you know, maybe pin their ears back and go after the quarterback. They didn't, and they couldn't, and they haven't, and they don't have any confidence now, and you don't believe in them either. Final six games, it's going to be a slog.
Well, go on a 6-game winning streak and you're in the playoffs, buddy.
You're not doing that.
Okay.
You're not, and I don't really care anymore. I'm curious what you think. This isn't about quarterback development for the final six games. It's about head coaching development.
That's well put. But don't you have to Don't you have to play Mitch?
No.
Don't you have? I mean, let me ask something. How old is Chase Daniel? He's 33. What's the point of seeing what Chase Daniel can do? The only point of that would be that maybe the offensive play caller can show that I've got really clever plays. This other guy can't call them. He can't run them. So I can call great plays, and look at this guy. He can actually pull it off. That's all that would be.
I understand that, and I it's not something that I feel like deeply strongly about, like, okay, the franchise is going to be derailed if you do this, because I think you're past that. I really just don't think it matters that much, because, look, when you get – let's fast forward 6 games. Let's fast forward 2 months. You're sitting there at the end of a disappointing season. You're one of the most disappointing teams in the NFC. What is your plan at quarterback for 2020? And how does Mitch Trubisky fit into that? He certainly doesn't fit into that as a starter. If he is your projected starter for 2020 and your front office is making that projection, you need somebody in your front office that's new, because a new set of eyes needs to look at this equation and this scenario and this situation, because you can't go into next season with him as your starter.
For whatever reason, here's Chase Daniel.
That is the problem. For whatever reason. Why in the name of Jesus would you put that guy on the field is what he's really saying. And here's the thing. Like, I think we know what we know about Mitch, but let's get absolute verification. Let's try. If the season is lost and you have 6 games left, why waste those starts on Chase Daniel? Why not waste those starts on Mitch? Because he's younger. Only reason. Younger and a little bit taller and more mobile. And there is a hierarchy of talent.
I think you're probably that's a valid point to make. It only gets problematic if playing Mitch, despite all the evidence to the contrary, if he doesn't give you the best chance to win, then you're depriving the 52 other guys a chance to experience victory on a Sunday. That's all.
Does Chase Daniel give you the best chance to win?
It depends how bad Mitch is.
Well, it depends. I mean, how good is Chase Daniel?
Mitch hasn't cracked 200 yards. When's the last time he had over 200 yards passing? We're talking about a guy who was 60.
I thought he had the 3-touchdown breakthrough. Didn't I hear about that?
And he still threw for how many yards in that game? Not many.
Well, how many? Look at Jared Goff. How many pass attempts did they have in that
18.
Game? 18. Holy God.
11 for 18, and he was the best quarterback on the field.
He completed 11 passes.
Yeah.
I mean, what did he do?
This was...
Mitch went for 253 against the Chargers. That was that was a breakthrough game also.
Did they win that one, Kevin?
Something happened with the kicker at the end.
No, they
didn't. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
We have a texter screaming, Colin Kaepernick. I think you misspelled it. 312-644-6767. John is in Lombard. Good morning, John.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. Well, you know, obviously Mitch hasn't been playing good, but when was the last time you heard Khalil Mack's name called in a game? When was the last time? He's supposed to be the big star of the team. They're not doing anything either on defense. Last year, they were causing havoc, and we were winning games because of the turnovers and the good D. It's not only Mitch.
I don't argue with you, John. It's a good call. I mean, there's problems all over the field now, but maybe it starts with Mitch. Let's get to Michael. He's on the south side.
Morning, Michael.
Hey, Michael.
You know what, I said all of this at Nagy's feet. It was his decision not to play these guys in the preseason. It was his decision to kind of go back the offense. It's his decision on the players he puts on the field. It was his decision to turn Mitch into a pocket quarterback when he's not that guy. You know, it's his decision. It sits at his feet. He has to be accountable, held accountable for it. And at the end of the day, you can't blame it on the defense. When you keep the defense on the field that long, going to catch, they're going to start taking notes, they're going to share notes, and you're going to see that week after week, these offenses are going to fix the Bears' defense. And the defensive coordinator for the Bears is not aggressive enough, in my opinion. You know, we should be blitzing more. We have to press the quarterback.
I don't understand what they're
doing.
I don't
disagree with that. Yeah. And by the way, Khalil Mack's last sack came against the Chargers, and that last night was his third straight game without one.
Let's squeeze in Rick. He's in Evanston. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
Good morning, fellas. Listen, if we could get rid of, I'm so smart, run out of the eye. What's wrong with that? You know you can't, right. You don't have nothing up front. Stop trying to be so smart. Number two, the defense has quit. You can look at the way they walk up to the huddle. They have quit. They looking in this, stuff like, I'm not going to go ahead and end my career on this garbage. They're a bunch of hot garbage.
Yep. Thanks, Rick. That puts it well.
How eloquent.
Yeah.
And they really, it's hard to argue because this is a team that, what do they do well?
We'll ask Tom Thayer next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.